Well, how many of you know there's a lot of people that are looking at impossibilities in their lives? How many of you know some people that they're going through situations and it seems like it's impossible? You know, you run into people all the time. I know we've met people today and the different places, and while we were flying out there and we saw people, you could see people were so, I mean, their life, they were so depressed, you know, and so depressed when you see them. And it's just like you wanted to say something to them to pick them up. But we didn't have time. There's too many in the airport. We was trying to get to our plane. They was trying to get theirs. But some of them looked, you know, you wanted to stop and throw a platform up and go to preaching. You know, to say, listen, there's no time to be sad. There's no time to be down. And even when we were coming back on our flight, our plane, when we got ready to go, there was no plane outside. And so we waited and waited. We've been up ever since 6. I think we stayed up 13 hours getting home. And, you know, your flesh wants to say, especially when you've been 7 hours to 8 hours every day in a meeting. We didn't have time to talk to the ministers hardly out there. Everybody was just going to eat and going to their room, coming back and going and coming back. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And so it's just amazing, you know, when you see so 13, about 13 hours. And it's like I said, I'm going to look at Travis and I thought. And so I just get up and, you know, I keep hearing, you have to live by what you preach, right? And so I just get up, and I said, I'm going to the bathroom, because I was tired of sitting. So I went to the bathroom and got in there, and I said, Lord, I said, we just been out to this meeting to get your word. And we just received your word, and we're going back to take your word back. Now get me a plane in here right now. You say, you talk to God like that? I said, yes. And you know what? When I walked back out and got out to where Travis was, they said the plane's about to leave, you know, at 6:15. And I said, thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes we just are so timid about talking to God, but God wants us to say something. You know, he's waiting on people to stand up and be bold and quit letting things run them and us start running things ourselves and quit letting things dictate to us. It's time for us to say something because he's there. I mean, I didn't care who was in the stall over here and who was in the stall over here. You know, I didn't care. I didn't go in there to the bathroom. I went in there to talk to God, and I said, I want it now. And after 13 hours or 12 hours then, you know, it's time to get a now in your life. And I think that's what we need to realize, that there's people, maybe you're in here and you're not dealing with any impossibilities, you're not dealing with any, you know, depressive, oppressive spirits and different things like that, but you will meet somebody who is. And so tonight we want to talk about some scriptures. How many of you know it's the word of God that sets you free? Amen. It's the word you know. And he said, how can you know except one be sent? And how can you hear except one preach? And so that's why it's so important to hear the word of God. And so that's what we were doing. But if you will, take your Bibles and open to Romans 14, 17, and I'll try to go slow. Because it's like I get to rolling. I wrote my scriptures down so I don't have to go to the Bible. But I know they're putting it up on the screen, so I better slow down so you can see it. And we're going to talk about faith laughs at impossibilities, and you'd be amazed. How many scriptures are in the Bible on joy, rejoice, laughing? And so it's time, if we've ever rejoiced and we've ever laughed, it's the time we're living in right now. This, we were made for this time. God chose us to live in this time because he knew we could do it. We knew how to handle it. It doesn't mean your flesh don't want to lay down and die sometime. It would feel like it's dying anyway. But you got to have the scripture so in you till the scripture fights for you. A renewed mind is when your mind is so full that when you face something, it talks for you. The words comes out of your mouth before anything else. That's a renewed mind. People say, I've got a renewed mind, but what do you do under pressure? What do you do when the pressure hits? What do you do? I mean, the way I felt after those so many hours, I wanted to hit somebody. I wanted to do something. But it's like that word, when that word gets on the insides, you know that that's not right. That wasn't your thought. That was a flesh moment. That was a flesh. So, and that's why it was so important to be able to grab and say, I can do something about this. I don't have to sit by. And we had a couple that was over there that we were standing by going to Tallahassee. And she looked and she said, we changed planes. We thought we could get there quicker if we got on this plane. Their plane already left that they were going to be on. So she had an opportunity to rejoice, right? She had an opportunity to rejoice. And you know what? They carried themselves very well. But in Romans 14, 17, it says the kingdom of God is. Did you get that? The kingdom of God is. It's a real place. It's a real place. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. You ought to circle joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has been sent back to help us to keep our focus on righteousness, peace, and joy. And we're going to be talking about the joy part, the laughing part. So you need to realize we need to laugh. Look at that person next to you, and it'll get a laugh out of you. See, there you are. See, some of you haven't laughed until you look at that person. Laughing at somebody. And now look at Acts 13, 52. Turn quickly or write it down. It said the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. How many of you know you don't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost just one time? You need to continually be refilled with the Holy Ghost. But it says continually filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Joy. Joy is a product of the Spirit of God. Joy. Joy. And you'll find out that it comes from God. It's from, you know what? We can't live from the outside in. We've got to live from the inside out. That's where joy is. Happy is on the outside. But joy is on the inside. So we realize that it's a product of the Spirit, right? So we have, and just like me and Travis, we've been in services where there's been many demonstrations of joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of you have been in some of those services? You see, we saw Rodney Howard Brown, you know, and people thought he'd lost his mind. They thought, this is nuts. These people are crazy. Until we ended up one of his services, and he got up close to us and just knocked, and we just got knocked flat. You know what I mean? And then laughing. It was a real thing. It wasn't just a figment of our imagination. Right. But it goes back to what you believe, where you're standing at. We have joy. We have joy. And some of you need to notify your face. We have demonstrations. Now, see, some of you didn't laugh on that one, but you need to laugh. Demonstrations of joy in the Holy Ghost. And they had demonstrations like laughter, dancing, and other expressions of joy. And we're going to find out as we go on that that is the atmosphere of heaven. Joy is the atmosphere of heaven. And you know what I realized too? It said he's made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not waiting to go to heaven to laugh. We got heaven right down here on the earth. He's made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know I heard Brother Copeland say this. He said, what do you think that the people in heaven thought about the election? And they said nothing. And he said, well, what are you thinking about? A lot of people are taking on those things when you should be thinking of nothing. You should be peaceful. But see, this is what he said. He said they're in continual joy because that's the atmosphere of heaven. Amen. That's the atmosphere of heaven. So when you study, when I looked up the Hebrew meanings of joy in the Bible, it said this. So if you need to get a pen out, write it down so you keep up with it. The Hebrew word appearing most in the Old Testament is SIM/KHAW, and I don't know how to pronounce that, but I can spell it, which has the root word SAW/MAKH, which means illuminate, illuminate. And this is what it says. And turn over to, I don't have this on the list, so you don't have to turn there, but you can turn there, but they don't have to show it on the screen. But turn to Genesis chapter 1 in verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. It says, in the beginning God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. And the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Now, this may help you understand where this is coming from. The Spirit of God, this is what it means in the Hebrew. The Spirit of God hovered over darkness in the beginning and laughed darkness away with joyful illumination. Boy, I'm telling you, when I read that, I thought, man, it's time to laugh. It's time to laugh. We're not laughing enough. We're not laughing enough, but he said it laughed the darkness away with joyful illumination. And illumination means a supply of light. When we get light, and get understanding, you know what comes with it? Laughter, joy, peace, righteousness. All this comes with it when we begin to understand it. That if he laughed the darkness away with joyful illumination, what can we do with situations in our life? And you're going to find out as we go on through this that we have a part to play. It's not just about God, what God did. And the pastor talked about that this morning in the tithe. It's a covenant connection that, you know, when you've got a covenant, this one does something and this one does something. And so if this one does something and this one doesn't, guess what? It's not a covenant. You have to have this one do his part and you do your part. And so God's done his part. Now it's up to us. And you know, most people think, you mean laughing is something, it's a product of God? Yes, it is. And you'll see as we get deeper on in here that God, if you could see God right now, Jesse Duplantis went to heaven and he said Jesus was just laughing, laughing, laughing. That's why he made a picture of Jesus with all his teeth showing. How many of you seen that? Because it's a product. It's from the Spirit of God. It's what heaven's made of. I wouldn't want to know that when I left this planet, that when I got to heaven, it was depressed. That's, you know, right. Depressive. That's depression. Right. Depressive. I mean, there's enough of that stuff down here. Yeah. But if we're sitting with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above, far above, far above, we should have that joy. We should have that expressions. But you know, the reason we don't is because we're not illuminated. We don't have a supply of light, or let me put it this way, not enough supply of light. And you know, you can hear and hear and hear, and sometimes I think we take for granted what we're hearing. Sometimes we've been in the Word so long until it's like, oh, I've heard that. I heard people, Brother Copeland was out there, and he was telling, you know, he's on his trail. One night he preached 2.5 hours, almost three. And that was the last night, wasn't it? And I heard people up there, and they would just, yeah, meow. Oh, he tells it all the time, and he tells this all the time. I get tired of hearing that story, and I thought, I heard the Spirit of God say something on the inside of me, and he said, you should count it an honor to sit under this man, no matter how many hours he speaks, because one day he may not be on the scene. But he's a general in the spirit realm. And that's what, and people don't realize this. We heard people say that about Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would tell his stories over and over and over. And you know the one thing? They didn't hear it the first time. Because if you didn't understand, there was a clue in that story that could help get you light. So when that light comes on, your joy would come. So it's important that we understand that we realize it's a supply that we can laugh darkness away. We can laugh oppression away or depression. We can laugh poverty away, debt, lack. We can laugh those things away. They do not have to live in our life. So we have, that's what he wants us to do. So no matter, how many of you know that if you go, We run into people all the time that, you know, Orientals and different people like that. And when you get around them, do you have a hard time recognizing when they're laughing? You know, if you were to go to another country, you might not understand their language, but would you have a hard time knowing when they were laughing? No. That's an international language. Laughter is an international language. And so that's what we've got to realize, that God wants us to understand that heaven is made up of laughter.
That's right.
And Jesus, we want to see this when you understand the power that's in heaven, but the power that's in us. It's not only in heaven, it's in us. Jesus had a mission statement. How many of you know what that is? It was his mission. And so let's look at Luke 4:18 and find out. This is, deals with anointing. All this is going to tie in with the anointing. All this joy, the laughter, you know, the expressions of joy and illumination, all this ties in with the anointing. People say, oh, if I could just get into the anointing. You are in the anointing. You have the spirit of the anointing abiding in you if you're born again. But it says in Luke 4:18 in the King James Version, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, you need to stop and say that to yourself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isn't that right? I mean, some people think, not upon me. You don't know what I'm like. Well, if you're born again, it don't matter what you're like. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you if he's in you.
Amen.
Right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because there's a reason that the Spirit of the Lord's on us. It's not just to make us feel good. It's not to make us, you know, run around and all the kind of stuff. There's a reason why. But that's a product of it. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. These are people with difficulties.
Come on.
These are people with problems. These are people in situations. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. It's no fun being poor. Is it? No fun. No fun. I've been there, done that. It's no fun being poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. It's bad when somebody has a broken heart. Now, we've been around people that's brokenhearted, that somebody left them or something happened to them. They're brokenhearted to preach deliverance to the captives, people that are captive, and recovery of sight to the blind. And that's not just talking about physical blindness. That's talking about spiritual blindness. To set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was his mission statement. And that became ours when we became born again. That's what we're here for. And when you understand this, then you begin to get joy. You begin to realize there's a field of that can be picked anytime. I've got a purpose for being here. I should have a joy about being here. I'm telling you, when we walked through Atlanta Airport, that somebody said, heard somebody say one day, to go to heaven, you have to go through Atlanta. You know, when somebody dies, and I partly believe them when I saw all those people. I saw people, I mean, it was just like you was having to dodge like this. You know, you go, watch out. And people don't look where they're going. They're on their cell phones. They'll run you over if you're not watching where you're going. And then a lady come down driving the cart and had people on it. And I told Travis, I said, look at that. People ain't even watching her. And she's just going through. She's got this look like, you better get out of my way. But we need to have that look as far as the things of God are concerned. We need to let the devil know we're not going to take it anymore. I'm not drawing back. I'm going to get 100%. I'm not drawing back from this thing. So when Jesus walked the earth, you could tell where he was because of the joyful expressions of the people he touched. I mean, think about the blind man. You know, when he had never been able to see and he got his eyesight and he just said, thank you. No, he didn't. I mean, he was leaping. I was blind, but now I see. There was joyful expressions going on. And those in need were blessed while the religious Jews became angry, critical, and jealous. There's always going to be people that become angry, critical, and jealous because you're blessed. Because you've got joy and they're not using theirs. You know what? If you don't use it, you lose it. I'll take what you don't use. It's just like angels. If you don't use yours, I'll take them. And so it's important that we realize that we are carriers of Jesus. And we work from the inside out. We got to quit living from the outside in. That's why we let our flesh do the talking for us. We let our flesh tell us when we want to go. We let our flesh tell us when we need, you know, we want to stay. Or when we feel bad or when we feel good. We let our flesh do the talking. But you know what? That's living from the outside in. We got to let the word do the talking from the outside in, and then our flesh will come in line with it. We don't have to have down days. We don't have to have blue Fridays or purple Tuesdays or pink Mondays. You know, we don't have to have all those things. You know what? That comes from flesh. That comes from walking in the flesh. And you know, you say, we've had help to get to this place. Because see, it was passed down. It's kind of like the children of Israel. They went through the dark ages. They went, you know, they were slaves for so long, so they passed it on. It was passed on. They kept talking about a Redeemer coming, but yet they didn't believe it. They didn't believe we've been in bondage all this long time. Why ain't he going to come? You'd be amazed at the people that come to us and said, I'm going through this situation. I don't know why it's not working out and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? It wasn't the word's fault. It was where we stand and how we're sent. We need to get that supply of heaven. We need to get the illumination of the word of God so that when we're illuminated, then the atmosphere of heaven will flood into our life. Flood in. Our kids need to see the atmosphere of heaven flood into our homes. Right. I'm telling you, for kids, I see so many kids, and they look so down and so sad when kids are supposed to be enjoying life. Right. But then I look at their parents and said, oh. I look at their parents and I see why. Because the parents are so down. The parents are, you know, it's bad here, it's bad there, nothing's working. And I'm not telling you anything I don't know. We've been in those places before. But when we got a hold of the truth, it began to change us. The atmosphere of heaven began to come in. And you can allow the atmosphere of heaven in your home. Do you know, I'm fully persuaded marriages would be better right now if we had the atmosphere of heaven.
That's right.
In the home. Atmosphere of heaven. It's all about me. It's all about me. No, it's not all about you. It's all about him.
That's right.
It's all about him in you. It's all about this. It's not about our flesh. I tell you what, like I said the last time, some of you just need to push your plate back for a while. You know why? And I'm not saying that to be funny or critical. I'm saying that the reason you can't hear the Spirit of God, because he's talking 24-7. He's talking 24-7, but we're so caught up in our flesh and what I want and what I want to do and this and this and this in the flesh area, we can't hear the Spirit of God tell us to do anything. Oh, we should be doing what he said here. We shouldn't be the critical ones. I tell you, I've seen more people that when somebody got blessed, it got so angry. I've been serving God for this many years, and I've been faithful, and I've been a giver and all this stuff, and God ain't never done that for me. And he never will, because you won't let him.
Yeah.
Now, see, the you is understood. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. But we all had to come there. We have to let him cause things to be activated in our life. And it's through the Word of God. It is the same today where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is present and the power of darkness submits to the power of joy. You don't realize how darkness will bow its knee. And that's why it said that in Hebrews. You know, it talked about darkness. He laughed the darkness out. When he spoke, the breath of God was laughter. That's what it says in Hebrew. It was laughter. Can you see God laughing? I wish I had a tape of somebody just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. You know what? I found out that if you get somebody that laughs and laughs and laughs, people will pick up on it and start laughing. You can't help it.
That's right.
It's like after a while, you just jump in and start laughing. You have to be really depressed not to jump in. But if you keep listening to it long enough, it'll change you.
That's right.
Just as light dispels darkness, holy joy and laughter bring heaven's atmosphere and depression evaporates.
That's good.
Do you know, I'm persuaded that if you could get into some places where people are manic, depressive and all kinds of things like that, and start putting laughter, start putting things to laugh at on the screens instead of putting the, you know, the sop stories, soap operas. All those stories, as the stomach turns, you know, and all those kind of things like that. If they would put something good in there, isn't it amazing? We went into a mental institution with a young lady, and when we got in there, it's like, man, there's some demons in them places. We saw this tall guy come over there at us, and he looked at me, and I said, you ain't going to get none of me. You know, it's just like he's very serious at eyes. You could see, when you go into those places, you could see those people had demon possession, a lot of them. Not all of them. Some of them were just oppressed. Some of them were just depressed. But some of them had possession. And they'd look at us and give us mean looks. But you know what? When you know the truth, you're carrying around the atmosphere of heaven. And when we got in there where that young lady was and got in the room, you know what? The first thing she did, she started laughing. When we looked at her and smiled, she just started laughing. You know what we did? Like Jesus, we carried the atmosphere of heaven into that situation. And so that's why it's important for us to have it in our life, so that we could keep laughing. So, and remember, you know, in Jonah, it says, he who observes lying vanities forsakes his own mercy. That's in Jonah. He observed. Jonah, if he had observed lying vanities, he would have died in that fish's belly. And I don't know about you, I'm not dying in no fish's belly, and I'm not dying in no impossibility, and I'm not dying in no trouble. He brought me out, not so that I could go back in. Isn't that right? And so Jonah would have died in that fish, but that fish, because Jonah had a higher, he thought different, he had illumination, and that fish spit him out on land. And I tell you what, he got out and preached the gospel. That's what he was supposed to do to start with. That's what we're all. Do you know the reason that we're down and sad is because we think about ourselves all the time. We're not thinking about reaching the unreached and telling the untold. We're too busy with our own mess. We're too busy with our own problems. We got to get up and do something. We got to start living from the inside out, not from the outside in. We should not lose the joy of our salvation. Isn't that amazing when you get born again, people get happy and everything, and then all of a sudden, a few years down the road, they say, oh, woe is me. You know, they lose their joy. We shouldn't lose that. We shouldn't lose that. One thing that David needed restored when he sinned was the joy of God's salvation. It's not the joy of my salvation. It's the joy of his salvation. It's a big difference. Because, see, it's not about my joy. It's his joy. It said the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? It didn't say my joy was my strength. It said the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I've got to have illumination, right? I've got to have illumination. I've got to have light. I've got to get flooded with light. I got to have that word in its place. And you can't watch 28 hours of something else and 1 hour of the Word of God and expect to have illumination. You can't. It won't work that way. And so David needed that. And you can think about David. Forgiveness is so wonderful, isn't it? That's what David needed, forgiveness. That his sins would be forgiven of the things that he did. David needed that. And it was so wonderful. Don't you know he got excited when he realized he was forgiven? He got back God's joy. In Luke 10 and 20, Jesus told us to rejoice, not because demons were subject to us, but because our names are written down in heaven. Think about that. Our names are written down in heaven. We don't rejoice. A lot of people, you know, the disciples came back and said, well, the demons are subject to us. And he said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Because if you wasn't connected to the atmosphere of heaven, demons wouldn't be subject to you.
Right.
So you got to realize there's a higher thing we need to be focused on.
Yeah.
And that's the Word of God and the purpose that God's put us here for. So we got to connect with heaven. And quit connecting. You know, we're waiting on, we can cast the devil out, and then we build a devil casting out session, you know. And we, if somebody, you know, can get up and sing and it get quiet, and then we give a message in tongues, and then we start making that a part of our program. Every service we think we got to have it. Not here, but most places have been in places where every time something come up, they felt like that's what they had to do. But see, that's not what it's all about. We have to stay connected to heaven. It's just like the praise team. They have to stay connected to heaven to help bring you to a higher level. The children's ministry has to stay connected to heaven to bring those children to a higher level. And let them know there's something bigger than mom and dad out there. There's someone bigger, and there's joy out here. Just because you may not be having a good time at home don't mean something bigger out there for you. Put something into them. When you get around people, don't take something out of them. Put something in them. And the word is what you need to put in them. You need to put in the Word of God. And I remember somebody said this: you may have lost your job, house, or your best friend, but you're not going to hell. Praise God. You're not going to hell if you don't have enough joy of anything else. You know why? We forget that hell is hot. If we realize hell's hot, man, we'd be rejoicing every day we got up because we're living in a cool time. How many of you has ever had a hot flash?
Come on,
how many has ever had a hot flash? I tell you what, you rejoice that hell is not part of your life. Right? Hell is not part of my life. I'm so thankful I'm not going to hell. And I'm so thankful I'm redeemed from hot flashes. Glory to God. I've got a coolant in my radiator that I don't have to live like that. In Psalm 16:11, it says, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Think about that. Not just a little bit of joy, but fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Fullness. Fullness. Turn around and look at somebody and say, you got fullness of joy inside of you. Okay, if you believe that, why aren't you laughing? So we have to remember, it's the atmosphere of heaven. Heaven is not a boring place.
That's right.
Hell is.
That's right.
But heaven is not a boring place. And people need to wake up to the idea that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And we need to wake up and realize that. But you know the reason people aren't flooding in and wanting to serve Christ is because it said it's the love of God that brings men to repentance.
Amen.
It's the love of God. It's excitement. I tell you, we had a young man come in church from somewhere else, just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he walked in, he said, I just was riding by here with my friend going that way. And he said, something told me to come over here. And he looked at his friend and said, what am I going to tell him? He said, tell him what God did for you. And you know what? The young man came in, didn't know us from Adam. He came in here and he started telling the pastor, and before it was over, he didn't care who you were. He came up on the front and just started praising God. Yeah, he was having a good time until his friend came and got him. I wanted to cast the devil out of him. This man was having such a good time, and then his friend, what kind of friend is that to break that up when he's having such a good time out here? Oh, my goodness. We need to realize there's life in God. I tell you, I was raised in a Methodist church. He was raised in a Baptist church. We were Methodist-Baptist-Costals. That's what we were. And you know what? I've sat in a church where you had to sit like this. And if you moved, Mama pinched on this side and Daddy pinched on that side. So you just got pinched all the time because, you know, a kid's going to move. And then the day that I found out church didn't have to be boring. Church doesn't have to be down. Church doesn't have to be sad. I've seen people come in here and, you know, we'd be praising God and we get, whoa, we praise God. But you know what? I'm delivered from hell. I got a right to get wild. If you knew where I came from, you would know why I'm wild, right? And so once people come in here, they're like, what are they doing? We're excited about the God we serve. We're excited from the inside out. Glory to God. And this is what I want you to think. And you know, joy is healing, right? You know, the reason a lot of people don't get healed is because they don't have enough joy. And I read this article and it fits so good in here. I had to throw it in here. Joy is like God's hyperbaric chamber. How many of you know, Travis said, what's a hyperbaric? He knew what it was. He was cutting up. How many of you know what a hyperbaric chamber is? Hyperbaric chamber. Just stick with me and you'll find out, okay? And it said, if a person is suffering from a wound that needs the healing process to be accelerated, such as a diabetic wound, the doctors may prescribe some time to be spent in the hyperbaric chamber where there is a high oxygen level. Oxygen heals, folks. Oxygen and the atmosphere of heaven heals. It's the breath of God. It's the breath, the word of God. It said he breathed the breath, his breath, into every word. Every word. This Bible is not a book about God. It is God. And if I can get these words off those pages into me, guess what? I'm going to have the breath of God, and it's going to permeate every part of my life. There's no sores can stay on this body. There's no sickness can live in this body because I got atmosphere of heaven on the inside. Oh, I get excited. I make me want to run around the church. Which one of you want to run for me? Heard a preacher say every time he said he wanted to, he felt like running around, there was this man that get up and run around the church for him. I thought, that sounds like a plan. And it says, as a patient receives his treatment, he takes what is called a dive. You know what that is, don't you? And must have assistance in walking because he is under the influence of the treatment, similar to being drunk. Do you know what that is? Being drunk. Have you ever seen a drunk person? They don't care what you think about them. Yay, whoopee! You know, they're just having a wonderful time. It don't matter. And so that what happens, it's an atmosphere of heaven. They're drunk. They took a dive. That's why when you see people get filled with the Holy Spirit and the illumination of the Word, they get to looking kind of glassy-eyed, you know. And it said, oh, my goodness, they're about to take a dive. And some people, we've seen people had to be helped out to their cars. I watched Deborah one day. She was laughing so hard, they had to take her to a car. And I thought, oh, Lord, let the angels drive her home. We've all had something similar. See, y'all are laughing because you remember those days. What happened to them? Why do we let those days slip away from us? Why do we let them get away from us when we have Jesus living on our inside and we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Not up there, down here. I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. So similarly, when someone needing healing or a broken heart mended, the anointing of joy restores them to wholeness. It's like the hyperbaric chamber. It's oxygen from heaven. And I tell you, we've seen people get healed. We've seen people get delivered. We've seen blind eyes open, the deaf ears pop open. That was the oxygen. When I saw this, I thought, oh, that's the oxygen from heaven. That's when God's breath blew in on the scene and did what it was designed to do.
All right.
And it was through His Word. Through His Word. It's illumination. Some of you are getting illuminated right now. When are you going to take a dive? It is heaven's medicine. If you want to get somebody healed, don't go in there and say, bless your heart. I know how bad it is. I know I heard, you know, this happened on the soap opera. And, you know, that doctor told them they wasn't going to make it. And I know you got the same thing they do. You know, people believe in those soap operas to the point that they feel like they're part of it. I thought, my goodness, I've never seen anything. I used to, a long time ago before I got delivered, watch a soap opera. But you know what? The only thing I realized is this wife was going with this one's husband. And, you know, it was all the swapping stuff going on and all kind of sickness and diseases. And thank God I got delivered.
Amen.
Some of you may need deliverance tonight. Oh, it got real quiet on that one. Ooh. I'm preaching the right thing, right? Because you know when you're watching that soap opera and they leave you hanging with a guy with a gun pointing it. And they said, tune in tomorrow for the remainder of this program. You know what? You're going to think about that all night. And you know, I've heard some people that they went to work, they recorded it. And they were just so miserable until they got home, and they couldn't even fix their food because they got to see whether they killed that person or not. You got to realize there's an atmosphere of Babylon, too. There's an atmosphere of the world that's out there to grab hold of you. Just keep looking straight ahead, and nobody ever know I was talking about you. In Proverbs 17:22, let's look at that one. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You realize why people are sick all the time? It's because they're not happy. They don't have joy. But it said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you want healing, start laughing. Do you know there was a man that had cancer? And he decided, somebody told him that you can laugh yourself into health. He went and got some of the funniest movies, and he locked himself in a room, and he laughed and laughed and laughed, and the man walked away healed. Think about that. Laughter is good. It's oxygen from heaven. So we need to let the Spirit breathe new life on us by praising and worshiping. Think about that. It's oxygen from heaven. We need to let it breathe on us. In Jeremiah 18, 2 through 4, it says, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You ought to circle that part right there. Very important. If you don't hear the word of God, you are going to amount to anything. You're not going to accomplish anything because it's the word. And people can pray till they rub all the hair off your head and it won't do any good until you take hold of the word of God. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, I read a story about this, about the potter. You know, we see that in the Bible a lot of times, but this story is so good. Said where the pottery was made, and they demonstrated the entire process. They showed the wheel and the oven where the pottery was fired to harden it. The potter said that after they were finished, there was a high-pitched sound that came from the vessel. A high-pitched sound. When the vessel in the oven got ready, there was a high-pitched sound, and he called it singing. And we need to think about our lives and some of the fiery trials we go through. When we talked about laughing and the impossibilities. Everybody goes through some fiery trials. In 1 Peter 1, 7 through 9, it says that the trial of your faith being much more. Do you notice your faith is on trial? You can't have faith apart from the word of God. So it's going after the word that you have. It's trying to stop you. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's going to show up in the midst of that. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. Even though I can't see God, even though I can't see Jesus, I believe he's there. I believe he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he can do. And then he said, if you believe, you will rejoice, and with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, we're Christians. We should be believers. But where is the rejoicing and the joy? Where is the rejoicing that when we come in, it's not, you know, most of the time when we come into church, it's when the saints come dragging in. But what about when the saints come marching in? Think about it. It's because we don't believe that God is who he says he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Even though I can't see him, it says. Even though I can't touch him, I believe he is, and I rejoice with joy unspeakable. Think about that. In James 1, 2 through 4, oh my, I might have to stop. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. You ought to circle joy. When you fall into, thank God you didn't just walk into it, you fell into it. The devil laid a booby trap for you and you fell into diverse temptations. Knowing this, you got to know something. You got to know something, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. How would you like to be like that? Perfect, entire, and you don't like nothing. You got everything. This is what he said. Knowing this, you got to know something. You got to know something. So when a Christian goes through fire trial, he's like the pottery in the oven. And when the potter hears a high-pitched sound or singing coming out of the vessels, he will bring them out perfect, receiving the result of their faith. Think about that. When we start singing, we don't realize people, you know, I heard Brother Hagin say this years ago. He said, you know, people go into prayer, but they don't get the answer. They quit before they get there. He said, you go into prayer, you should have a note of victory. You should come out with a song. You should come out with like this, with singing. You should have it. And it says when you hear, when he heard that sound, think about that. When God hears the sound of singing, you will get the result, the end result of your faith. What you've lassoed, you will get the end result. In Isaiah 41:10, in the Amplified Version, it says, God will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. He didn't say you wouldn't face a trial or you wouldn't go through a trial. He didn't say that. But he said that he will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. Just like when that pot's in there, you know, if they didn't put it in the oven, it would not hold together. But they put it in the oven, and when that whistle comes or that singing comes, then they know the pot's ready. It's been hardened to any difficulties. Where somebody might hit it or somebody might drop it, it's been hardened to difficulties. He will make you a vessel to be used by him. That's what it's all about. It is when joy and songs of praise are heard right in the middle of the fire. There is a release like Paul and Silas in the prison. You know, we've heard that all the time, right? In Acts 16:25, it said in the midnight hour they prayed and sang praises. Now, you got to understand, those men's backs were beaten. They were in the deepest dungeon. There were big rats crawling around. We learned later that there it was a sewage. It was a sewage place. That sewage, you know, bathroom sewage, run up to here. And they were hanging in this place. And, you know, think about it. Who would want to sing? How many people? We face a little bitty thing, something that doesn't amount to nothing, and we get to crying. But they face some hardships. I'm telling you, but they sang praises in the midnight hour. And that is when the power of God shook the prison, and it didn't only release him, it released every prisoner. If we would allow the joy and the life of God to come into us, it released people around us, our families. We wonder why our families are not coming to the Lord, but we have the power on the inside of us. We let that pot sing, and God would show up on the scene. He didn't tell you to sing when everything was going good. He said, sing when everything's going bad. In Isaiah 35:10, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That means that thing is subject to change. That thing you're dealing with is subject to change. I told somebody that today. I said, no matter what you're dealing with, it is subject to change. It's subject to change. I heard this man say, go ahead and weep, cry, even play country music. How many of you know a lot of people play this sad country music? Get all your friends together and mourn. But when morning comes, you have prayed through, put it away, cast your cares, decide to count it all joy, sing and dance and forget what lies behind. Now, we know where Paul says forgetting those things that are behind. And he said pressing toward the mark. If you can forget that, you got to be singing. If you can forget what you were like, what you did, all the stupid stuff we've done, you know. So we get ready to press toward what lies ahead. God, our future's out in front of us. Why are we letting our past hold us back? So you made a mistake. Have you repented? Well, get up and go on because God's forgotten it. He's wondering why you're still sitting around mourning over it. So joy comes in the morning like it did for the king who threw Daniel in the lion's den. That king did not want to throw Daniel in the lion's den. He liked Daniel, but these guys deceived him. And so instead of being eaten by hungry lions, Daniel trusted God who shut their mouths and delivered him out of that den in the morning. That king was excited and he threw those people in. And another one was Paul also learned this in his many beatings and shipwrecks to rejoice. You got to read about Paul. None of these things move me, he says. None of these things move me. But he said to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. I mean, if he can rejoice, why can't we?
That's right.
We see in the Bible many heroes of faith, and I'm about to land. We see in the Bible many heroes of faith who receive answers to prayer and mighty victories in hopeless situations. If you've been around the Bible anytime, you can see some of those things. But faith laughed at the impossibilities. They laughed. In Job 5:22, it said, Job said, at destruction and famine, you shall laugh. I mean, we're looking at some famine. We're looking at some destruction. That's right. And we should laugh. And like my sister up here, it don't matter if you really got laughter going, but once you start it, it's like cranking a motor. You'll get there. If you'll continue to laugh. He also said in Job 19:25, I know my Redeemer lives. He has the illumination of light to know that things that are seen are subject to change. Things are seen. So faith laughs at impossibilities like Sarah did when she and Abraham were given a promise from God that seemed impossible. It seemed impossible. Her laugh of disbelief was changed into a laugh of faith that created the miracle she longed for, which was a child. As children of God, we should imitate him in the way he laughs. If God laughs, I should laugh. He that sits, it says in Psalms 2:4, he that sits in the heavenlies laughs. In the same way, David took 400 distressed, discontented, and in debt men and taught them to rejoice before God with singing, shouting, and joy, and they became his mighty men. Hey, if I'm going to have an army, I want some of those. The ones that know how to rejoice.
Well, right now.
I want those people that know how to rejoice in spite of situations. The greatest example was Jesus. He was anointed with the oil of joy. He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and gained the victor's crown. Even though we find ourselves in the most trying times, let us be doers of the word and come out on top. Vessels of honor with songs of joy. That is the joy we want to hear. Every person wants to hear joy. Heavenly, triumphant joy because it carries the glory of God. It releases heaven into the earth or into a situation. So we must remember, faith laughs at impossibilities because it is the atmosphere of heaven. Stand to your feet. Praise God. It is the atmosphere of heaven. It is. And see, that's what we've got to realize. And I know it's like, oh, that was a lot said. You need to get that tape. Because when you get those scriptures and you begin to do it, there's nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you from reaching your destination. But you know what? I realized one day when I got to thinking about me, I said, Khalid, you're not laughing enough. I'm a laugher, right? Travis used to be. I tell him, say, you used to laugh. Come on, laugh, boy. But you got to check up on yourself and find out if you got the atmosphere of heaven flowing. Because if the atmosphere of heaven's flowing, you got laughter going. There's laughter in your home. Your kids recognize you through laughter. Through laughter. If you're used to laughing, that's what they think about. I remember Travis's mom, his older brother, looked at his mom because she was always singing that I could remember and always laughing about something. And then she went through a period where she didn't laugh or sing because she was dealing with some situations. And I remember Joe looking, not this Joe, but his brother Joe, looking at her and said, "Mama, you used to laugh and sing all the time. What happened?" And she said, "I guess I lost my joy." And I wanted to say, I was being nice, I wanted to say, "No, you didn't lose your joy. It's on the inside. Just cut loose with it." And it's true. It's true. Some of you may feel like you've lost your joy, but it's on the inside. It's being shut up. It's being shut up. Because that's the atmosphere of heaven. That if you get to heaven, you're going to be, you know, we're living far below our privileges as children of God. God's wanting us to laugh. Laugh. We need to be counted as those singing pots when we're in a fiery trial. That when we start singing, it says he shows up and it's over. It's not going to stand. Hallelujah. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. It's not. I was telling a lady today, I said, "Listen," she was going through a really bad situation. And I told her, I said, "You know, the hardest thing you'll ever find yourself doing is trying to laugh in this situation." But I said, "If you can laugh in this situation, God will show up on the scene. I guarantee you he will show up." Laugh on purpose. If it's nothing but ha, ha, ha. You know, it sounds so lifeless, but I remember Smith Wigglesworth said, "You start out in the flesh and you'll end up in the spirit." If you start laughing, ha, 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 and then you just really get the what I call belly laughing. You're not belly dancing, belly laughing. Belly laughing. When you begin to laugh from your belly. See, that got you. You got the laughing on that one. But you laugh up out of your belly. Ha, 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 ha. Me and the pastor, we went to bed one night, and I don't forgot what it was. We got tickled. I was crying. I was laughing so hard. And just, I couldn't quit laughing. And then the bed was shaking like this. And after I laughed so hard, then he got into it. We had that whole bed just shaking. And you know what I realized? Oh, God's going to show up. God's going to show up. Because he's inside of us. We were laughing, laughing, laughing. And I remember the next morning we got up and said, "What were we laughing about? What was so funny? I wish I could remember it again." Somebody had made a statement or something. But I'm telling you, hey, it's your choice. Either you can choose to stay depressed. Some people say, "I'm just not very emotional." We can tell. We can tell. I don't show my emotions too much. Well, then you got a problem. If you have no emotions when you get in the Word of God, you don't let your emotions control you, but you control them. And laughter can affect your emotions. It can affect your emotions. So it's time. You know, I really believe that men are so focused, not all men, but and women are on the same thing, but men are so focused on some things that they don't take time to laugh. And I believe that's why a lot of men die early. I do. Because they hold stuff in. They're so busy taking care of the home, trying to figure this out and trying to figure that out and make mama happy. You know, mama ain't happy. Nobody happy, right? Make mama happy and make, you know, do this and do that and do this and do that. Till it's like they just kind of clam up. And so if I ever find him clamming up, I say, "Come on, laugh, Buster, come on. You got it on the inside. It's on your insides." And you know what? We'll start laughing and just have a good time laughing. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So why don't you turn to that person next to you and say, "How long has it been since you laughed?" How long has it been? How long has it been? See, some of you are already laughing. How long has it been since you really laughed? You laugh because you're having fun. You're laughing. I may not have no money. I may not have this, and I may not have that right now. But I'm going to laugh anyway. We laughed when we didn't have money because we had illumination. We had the atmosphere of heaven. I remember one day when we only had $20 to our name at Christmas time. Travis was building some cedar chests for these people that had bought the cedar chests, and he needed some more casters, so there went our $20. Because we're people of our word. You need to realize you need to be people of your word. If you give your word, swear to your own hurt, not change, you know. And so we said, well, hey, it's just $20. And the one thing about it, I don't have a money problem because I don't have no money, right? You only have a money problem when you got money, right? So we said, we looked at each other and said, well, we don't have a money problem anymore because we don't have none. Right. So we spent that, and I tell you, we laughed and laughed. And you know, he was without a job there for a little bit. He had given out. He built fireplaces and all kind of things like that. And so he didn't have it, but all we had was a $20. And he had put bids out, been out for 6 months, 3 months, something like that. And we didn't have the devil's telling us, you ain't got nothing. Our family came by and picked the kids up, took them up to my mother's, and they got more Christmas than would have if they'd stayed down here. You know, because we didn't have the money to get them anything. But I'm telling you, when we got happy, we got to laughing. He was outside in the garage, and I was inside in the kitchen. And I remember, yeah, Christmas time. And he came to the door, and I was heading toward him, and we just busted out laughing. And we said, we ain't got no money problems because we ain't got no money. And we laughed and laughed. It wasn't 30 seconds, right? 30 seconds. He got a phone call. Now, this was Christmas Eve. Who wants to call on Christmas Eve and talk about working? And we got a phone call, and the lady said, you remember that bid you gave me? Do you think that you could still do that for me? And he said, let me check my schedule. But he said, yes, ma'am. We have never had anybody say, let me give you money up front. Come over now and get it. And boy, we burned rubber. I tell you, we took off. And you know what? The banks hadn't closed. And so we went. She gave him $300. That was like $3 million right at that point. $300 as a down payment. We beat it to the bank about 5 minutes before it was going to close. Put the money in, got a little money out, and we had us a good Christmas. We had a good time. And that opened a door that the devil had blocked because we were laughing.